let's get right into today because I want to. We have a special treat towards the end of this service, and so as I get through, it's all going to kind of make sense. It's all going to tie together. So pay attention and let's go with this and see what God's saying, speaking to us this morning. You guys willing to do that?
Amen.
Let God just completely bless us, because I believe that what God wants to do is overwhelm us with His love. Hey, that's a good thing. I'm asking God to do that because God put that in my spirit. Have you ever been overwhelmed by something?
Yeah.
And usually that overwhelming feeling, sometimes it's just a feeling. Sometimes it's an actual substance or an overwhelming of maybe. Sometimes when we feel overwhelmed, it's usually something with a negative connotation to it. Like, you know, more bills than you have money, that's overwhelming. More fear than you have trust, that's overwhelming. More issues than you have answers, that can be overwhelming. Seems like that's the story of my life on a regular basis. It's like, man, I thought I dealt with all my issues. And I think that's what God does. He laughs. That's funny. You're a good one. That's good. I'm believing because I think it's very, very real. You know, I've been talking about the last few weeks about God wanting to, not just wanting, but aggressively desiring, so it's even more intense than just wanting, to restore the lost, stolen, and that which is surrendered. God is extremely, intensely interested in restoring that which is lost, stolen, and surrendered. But the role that we play in that, God wanting to do that and desiring to do that in our lives, is to actually receive it back, you know, and take it back and go to the places that He's giving back to us, right? It's kind of like worship when Mike leads us in desires to lead his people into the presence of God through worship. You know, he can do everything he can up there and bring God's presence in, but if we just don't engage in it, then that's on us, right? That's on me to not engage in that opportunity to bask in His presence and allow His presence to fill me. I have to take it back. It's almost like I told a story about the wallet. If I returned that guy's wallet and he said, "No, that's all right. I don't need it anymore. I'm good. I don't need it anymore. I'm good. I've been dealing with it without it for so long now. So forget it. Just I'm good. Don't worry about it." I've been kind of like, well, okay. You're welcome, I think. You know, how would you respond? Or, you know, if I would have not taken back the weed eater that was stolen and said, "Oh, well, since you stole it, yeah, I guess it's rightfully yours now. Just keep it." Even though I confronted him and said, "Nah, it's not yours any longer." You guys understand what I'm saying with this?
Yeah.
The parking spaces, that which we surrendered, and then we just don't use them, which we haven't used them, by the way. It's like, I don't know, whatever. It's like, there's more to that. God has really shown me some neat things that He said. It's more than just about wallets, weed eaters, and parking spaces. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Awesome. I can't wait to see what God is going to do more. God wants to overwhelm us with His love. Receive it. Just bask in it. So I got some scriptures, and then we got some neat stuff. To walk in that overwhelming power of God's love, He tells us in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, it says, to humble ourselves under God's mighty power, under the mighty power of God. This is a living translation. And at the right time, He, God, will lift you up in honor, and He will give all. So He says, then give all your worries, cast all your cares to God. Why? Because He cares for you. For He cares for you. Humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at His time, in His time, He will lift you up. He will exalt you. He will carry you through it. Give all your cares to God. Give all your worries to God, for He cares for you. Casting it all to Him, giving it all to Him, is an action on our part. It's an attempt on my part, an intention of surrendering it back over to God, giving everything to God, trusting in God. Because see, You know, when Matt was talking about fear this morning a little bit, as God was giving him some words for, I believe that it's for specific people, you cannot just unfear fear. Does that make any sense? You can't just not be afraid. Fear must be replaced with something. Fear has to be replaced with something. What does fear get replaced with?
Faith.
Which faith, in another word that you might like, well, okay, that's, yeah, it's about faith. But what faith is really trust. It's trust. I get that word a little bit better than faith, because as I talk about faith, it's kind of a little bit complex, and you know, it has a kind of different meanings even to this day. But I get the word trust, because that which I trust in God, who I trust, now all of my fears they're dissipated. And that's why he says perfect love casts out fear. Amen. Perfect love actually is what replaces and drives out fear. That's the only way it works. I can't just unfear fear. Let me ask you this question. What is the determining evidence of a follower of Jesus? What would some of you say? What would some of us say? What is the determining factor, the most obvious evidence of a follower of Jesus? Is love. Genuine, selfless love for others. Genuine, selfless love for others. That really is what, if you will, divides or separates a genuine, authentic, true follower of Jesus. Is they have genuine selfless love for others. Any other form of love, which is really just a selfish love that isn't ingrained in and doesn't have God like working it in and through me to where it's coming out by the love of God, is not really love, because then there's selfish ambition behind other forms of love, which really aren't love. So there really is only one form of true love, which is selfless love, right? How do we get to the place of where Jesus said, no greater love has no one than this, that he who lays down his life for his friends? That's what Jesus was expressing, was the greatest form of love. Not like Whitney Houston. She got it all wrong, and you know, she just didn't get it right. You know, she was confused, and I think even to this day left this earth confused about it. It's not the greatest form of love, isn't learning to love yourself. That's, even though I get what she was trying to say, maybe kind of, sort of, but it's really not the greatest form of love. The greatest form of love, by the word of God, what he tells us is a love that lays down its life for his friends, lays down his life for others, right? So the greatest form of love, the greatest love, is to selflessly give, right? Hello? You guys with me on this? It has to do with Mother's Day. How do we get there, though? I mean, how do we get to it? Is anybody here at a place in their love for God to where you would actually breathe your last breath in that dedication and commitment to God in showing that you would love God? You might say that, yes, and I don't want any hands. Just think about it. How do we get to that place? How do we develop and come to the place of saying, I want to know and experience and walk in that greatest form of love, which is one that would lay down my life for my friends. The only way to do that is to be put in situations, to be put into and allow yourself to be developed, allow the love of God to be developed in you by putting you into situations that require you to sacrifice, require you to give of yourself. Hello? You guys following me in that? Okay, good. That's an easy to track with me on that. For example, this week I was hungry in the middle of the day, and I thought, oh man, you know what? I, for some reason, was craving Taco Bell. I want to go to Taco Bell. It doesn't happen very often, like once a month. Like, I want Taco Bell. It's, you know, I know it's like a teenage thing, right? Hunter? Hunter, I'm talking about Taco Bell. Come on, you said, am I going to talk about real stuff? Taco Bell's real stuff. He's like, I don't care. Here's a real story that actually happened to me. Hunter, you listening? So I go into Taco Bell, like, and for some reason, the Lincoln Taco Bell, they are, you know, I, it's just, their service is They're still learning. They're learning. And so I go in there, and there's like two people in line, and it's like I'm standing there, and it's all, I thought it was pretty obvious. I was standing in the line to order, and I'm standing there just waiting, and I just like just patiently, and like, okay, it's been there a couple minutes, and bless his heart, this old codger walks in there, like, and he's walking slow. Was that a good old person walk?
Yeah.
That's how he's walking, though. If you're offended, if you haven't taken the course on being offended, then let me show you. Just here's a neat little trick. If you want to be easily offended, carefully listen to stuff that especially the pastor says and make it all about you and take offense to it. So if that's you this morning, I feel really sorry for you, because it's like, I'm sorry. If you can't let me do an illustration, then whatever. Go across the street. So he walks in. He's like, hey, are you waiting in line? Like, well, yeah, I'm actually waiting. He goes, yeah, I thought so. And it looks like you were. And I'm like, so then the very next, the lady's like, can I help? Who's next? He's like, oh, yeah, that's me. And he walks right up, and he's like, and he orders his food, and I'm like, that was awesome. That was neat. I was like, okay, so here's, let me, it gets even better. It gets even better. So he orders his food, and I'm like, man, okay, I guess I'll be next. And so I walk up, and I order my food, and I'm serious. This is exactly what happened, guys. I go, and I get my drink, and I'm just laughing. I'm like, praise the Lord. That's all right. No big deal, whatever. You know, I don't have nothing to do all day anyway. I'm good. So I stand there and wait, and the guy, he gets his food, and so now I'm standing over where I thought was the place where you stand to wait for your food. So I'm standing there, and I get my drink, and I'm sitting there sipping on some soda, and he gets his food, and he proceeds to walk right by me and goes, ha ha, I beat you. I'm serious. I was like, yes. I was like pouring salt on the wound. I'm like, that's awesome. I was like, I'm thinking, what was that all about? I'm like, what the heck? I walked out of there just laughing. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm like, this is great. But here's where I thought, this is what the funny part was. I thought the Lord just said, well, the greatest love is the one who lays down his life. Said, you gave your spot, and he still, and then he proceeded to even rub it in a little bit. Like, that's kind of what love looks like. Wow. Where you can, and just to not to get upset or angry or like all worked up over it. I just, and honestly, I thought that's really funny. Here's what God wants to show us, is that I believe that God is, he uses those little things in our lives on a daily basis, if you're willing to notice them and identify them as an opportunity to lay down yourself, lay down your life. And maybe that's where it may not be just about whatever, a few minutes waiting or a few dollars that you had that you lost or this or that, whatever. It may be an opportunity to lay down your life, that he's developing in you, something in you that's greater, for the greater good and for the glory of God. Hello? You guys tracking? Because that's really, I think, what it comes down to, is I am constantly learning and being developed to the point of laying down my life. And when I miss those opportunities, I think it can easily go backwards and say, okay, well, now I'm going to have to go through that again. You know, and granted, I know somebody will cut me off again, and that's okay, but I do know that there's a real, real thing happening in the heavenly as I walk in this earthly for the glory of God, laying down my life. And I know that was very simple. It's like, you know, somebody just cut in front of me and talk about life. It's kind of whatever. But it's all the little things. Life is really made up of all the little things that happen in our day. We think that we would just, yeah, I'm going to give my life for the sake of the gospel. But what are you doing in all the little things? If you're not giving in those little things, what makes you think that you will give in the big things? We've got to do all the little things and give the little things. And to me, that is the, if that doesn't define a mom, I don't know what does. I mean, the moms are constantly sacrificing on a daily, regular basis. And some of you moms, you feel like you're a failure because you think like, it just seems like I just can't get it together. It seems like it's overwhelming. And it's my kid's not turning out perfect like they're supposed to. And you just got to do the little things. Know that the little things that you do on a regular basis are being noticed, are being seen, and it's being developed not just in you, but even in your children. Sacrificial love. The greatest love is a sacrificial love. Hello? Amen. I want to tell a Bible story, actually. It's in 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 16, and this is in regards to Solomon. It's a great story, and to me, I know it highlights Solomon's wisdom, but I also believe it highlights a mother's love, and it's awesome. So listen to this story. If you haven't heard this before, Hunter, it's a good one. Trust me, it's a really good one. It says this, 1 Kings chapter 3, it says, and this is out of the Living Bible, so Hunter can understand it, so he'll relate to it, so he'll get it. Here's sometime after this was after God had told Solomon, whatever you ask for, I will give you. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And he said, and God was like, awesome, because you asked for wisdom, you didn't ask for wealth or fame or gold. Instead, because you only asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom and all of that. Oh, wisdom. I've been stuck on that one, like, in a good way. I'm not stuck, but I've gone there a lot more recently than ever, asking God for wisdom, asking God for wisdom. You can't go wrong there. You just can't go wrong there. That's a whole nother message. But so this was sometime later. Two prostitutes came to the king to have an argument settled. And they said, "Please, my lord," one of them began, "this woman and I live in the same house. And I gave birth to a baby while she was with me in the house. And 3 days later, this woman also had a baby. We were there alone. There were only two of us in the house. But her baby died during the night when she rolled over on it. And then she got up in the night and took my son from beside me while I was asleep. And she laid her dead child in my arms and took mine to sleep beside her. And in the morning when I tried to nurse my son, he was dead. But when I looked more closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't my son at all. And then the other woman interrupted, "It certainly was your son, and the living child is mine." "No," the first woman said, "the living child is mine and the dead one is yours." And so they argued back and forth before the king. Sounds like Jerry Springer. Was heading right there. So then the king said, "Well, let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours. And each says the dead one belongs to the other. All right, bring me a sword." So a sword was brought to the king. And then he said, "Cut the living child in two and give one half to the other and one half to the other." And then the woman who was the real mother of the living child and who loved him very much cried out, "Oh no, my lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him." But the other woman said, "All right, he will neither be yours nor mine. Divide him between us." And the king said, "Do not kill the child, but give it to the woman who wants him to live, for she is the mother." And when all of Israel heard of the king's decision, the people were in awe of the king, for they saw the wisdom that God had given him for rendering justice. Here's what's awesome in this story: not just the wisdom of Solomon, but the very fact and the very point is that as genuine believers, I'd like us to understand and know this, that a authentic, genuine believer, just as though this mother was the genuine, authentic mother of the child that was alive. Her only response, her first and natural and very intense response, was to sacrifice, was to give her child up so that the child could live. Do you guys catch that? That's real. That's very tangible. That's real life Christian living. The only response as a Christian is to sacrifice, to give up. That's really cool. That's awesome. That's what God is speaking to us today, is that our natural Christian response ought to first be and foremost be to sacrifice, to give up, to surrender to God, to say, yes, God, I give it to you. And not just give it to you, but as I'm put in situations in life that require me to sacrifice, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Because it's more important, not just for the child to live, but to actually, and when we take this into our Christianity and our walk with God, the most valuable thing here is that we show people the love of God, the love of Jesus. How do I show people the love of Jesus? Tell them they're going to hell if they don't believe like me? I mean, there might be a place and a time for that. But how do you really show people the love of Jesus? By loving them sacrificially, giving to them, helping them, going the extra mile. That's the love of Jesus. That's what it looks like, right? That's what I don't know everybody's testimony and everybody's story, but I would almost bet that at one point in your life, before you said yes to Jesus' love, it was shown to you by somebody else, by a person, a physical person that you could touch. And you might be sitting here and saying, if you don't know Jesus here today, well, I'm waiting for him to just show himself, like, whoo, like an alien or something, and come and show himself to me. And all along, there's people all around you that are loving you and showing you this love. That's what God is intending to do. That's what God is wanting to do with each and every one of us, is show his love to those people in your lives that don't know him. And he's very, very, he's intentional about it. That intention is in you. He's placing that in you to be his vessel, to be his tool, to be his love to those who don't know God's love. It's very real to me that God's love is for everyone. Please don't ever become so, I don't know how the wording of it, other than the wording of it, don't become so arrogantly conceited than thinking that God's love is only for you or people like you or people that, you know, are good like you or people that have, I don't know where we would place that. Honestly, I don't know where that actually fits, because it doesn't fit anywhere. It's like putting a, I don't know, sometimes you could put your left shoe on your right foot and it feels awkward. You know, kids do it all the time and they seem to get away with it, walk around like it. But when you as an adult start doing that and you walk around with your wrong shoe on the wrong foot, you're going to look a little weird. And it might feel a little weird too. God has intended us to naturally love others. So when I ask the question, what's the greatest evidence of a genuine, authentic follower of Jesus, is one that loves others sacrificially, right? Amen. Amen. Let me read Psalm chapter 34, and then got a treat for you. Psalm 34, 1 through 10. I love this psalm because it's, I don't know, awesome. It says, I will praise the Lord at all times. This is in the Living Bible also. For some reason, I got stuck there on my iPad. It's all right. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt in his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and he freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. Man, that's good news. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard, and he surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, and this is, I love the word, oh. I don't know why that word just really stands out to me more than any in this whole, that's weird. But the word, oh, popped out to me bigger than all the other words. And I don't know why, because of this. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. I think what he's saying is there, come on, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joy of those who take refuge in him. It's like he's saying, come on, take a taste. It's right here. I mean, oh, a delicious plate of God. And when and then we just like, I don't know, it's a little crispy on the outside. It's like, it doesn't really look all that appealing. I'm not sure if I really want that. And he's saying, oh, come on. Come on, this is good. This is good. We have our little, our granddaughter, Jordan, she eats with all of her senses. All of us do, but she's like intense about it. Like, I mean, if it looks unappealing, one time Robin made goulash. I love goulash. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so good. It's so good. My mom used to make the best goulash. Robin makes a good one, but my mom made the best one. Sorry, but it was really good. I don't know what she put in it, but it was really, really good. It was. I think it was a lot of leftovers and stuff. It was like, But there's something about the sight of goulash that isn't all that appealing. And Jordan would like, she looked at that stuff and she's like, no way, man, that just does not look good. And she's like, and I could see it in her little brain, just like, that's no, bleh, bleh. And she started making these noises that made it sound like she was like getting sick and like, and of course, at this time, the point she's kind of getting in trouble because we all knew what she was doing, but it wasn't until it was like we had to like, trick it into her mouth, and she tasted it, and she's like, oh, that's actually good. So there is this real sense, if you will, because that wording of taste and see, you know, he's saying utilize and tap into all the senses that God has given us to experience all that God is. You know, a taste, a see, a hear, a feel, all the senses that God has given us, utilize to experience all of God. Hello? Amen. So taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Hallelujah. Amen. Even, then he says this, even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Hallelujah. I want to share with you guys something this morning because I just felt like the Lord putting it on my heart, and I asked Suzanne to share her testimony, her experience of how God gave her a taste of the Lord. Most of you know Mike. Everybody knows Mike who leads us in worship, but with every good man, there's what? A great woman. Yeah, yeah. And Suzanne is going to share her testimony with this with us this morning. So I'd like us to just, as she shares, listen, eat it in, find a place that you can taste and see that the Lord is good for you. So Suzanne, come on up here, and then we're going to pray as we end. So
taste and see that the Lord is good indeed. Let me tell you the goodness of our God and what he's done for me. I was born in a little tiny town in the center of Utah. I was born to Mormon parents. We were so Mormon that on both sides, my ancestors crossed the plains with Brigham Young. I mean, you couldn't get more Mormon than I was. And Mormonism isn't just a religion. It's a culture. It's your life. It became my identity. I was a pleaser, and I did everything they asked me to do. I was the president of every group. I followed every rule. It was who I was. I was a Mormon. I believed it with my whole heart, and I was sincere, and I would pray to God, you know, let me serve you. Let me do the right things. Well, let me tell you the goodness of our God. He rescued me from that, and it shouldn't have happened. It was all God's grace. And he brought a Christian person into my life, and I saw something different in this guy, and I didn't understand. And at that point, I was all set to go to college at BYU. I had a scholarship, and so I went. And I went to college as a Mormon, and I was going to convert this guy, and he was going to be a Mormon too, and it was going to be great. And so I get up to BYU, and this guy calls, and he starts asking some questions about the Mormon church, and he doesn't understand. And so I start thinking, and I'm like, I don't really have an answer for that. And I even went to my bishop up there, and I said, you know, I asked him the questions. What about this? And he said, you must be in sin, or you wouldn't be questioning the church. And that was the answer I got. It was like, okay. So I really started praying, you know, what is true? I couldn't imagine the Mormon church would be wrong. It had to be true. I believed it my whole life. All these amazing people believed it. It couldn't be wrong. But something inside me made me keep searching. And of all places, God led me to the library at Brigham Young University. And guess what they have on the shelf there? They have all of these amazing Christian books talking about why the Mormon church is wrong. It's like, wow, really? Right next to it, they have the Mormon answer to the Christian book and why the Christian book is wrong. But of course, I didn't read that one. I read the books by the Christians addressing, you know, why the Mormon church was not right. And of all the places to find them, and these books would say things like, the Book of Mormon has been changed. It's not the same as it was in the first original editions. Well, I was at BYU. I went and pulled up some of the original earlier copies and compared them side by side. Hello, who gets that opportunity? And they were different. You know, it was, God just started opening it all up to me and speaking to me. It was amazing. So, you know, and I was all by myself up there. I'm surrounded by Mormons. I have nothing. This is before the internet. I didn't have a lot of resources, only what God put in my hands. But God was so good. I took a long walk one night and just laid it all before him. I didn't know at that point what was right, what was wrong. I was so confused. Just said, God, you can have it all. Whatever it means, my family, my relationships, it doesn't matter, whatever it is. And at that point, God just opened up the Bible. It was incredible. It just came alive. I'd read it. I'd read it my whole life. But it never spoke to me before, and it never came alive. And God saved me, and it was incredible. So let me tell you something else about the goodness of our God. You know, fast forward about 3 years, I had married that guy that I had first seen the Lord in, and our situation was bad. I was an immature Christian. We didn't put ourselves in a local body. He had never been discipled and grown. We'd been married for about 2 years, and it wasn't good. It was a bad situation. And at that point, he made the decision to leave our marriage, and I was heartbroken and devastated. And I was alone. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have Christian friends. My family lived out of town. And at that point, God intervened again. I went to a Bible study. I was attending UNLV at the time. I went to a Bible study really trying to push into God, although I didn't really quite know what that meant yet. And the leader of the Bible study, I told her my story. And she said, I need you to meet somebody. He's had a similar experience. And she introduced me to Mike. So, thank you, God. I mean, who does that? He intervened in incredible ways. And through Mike, he began to disciple me and grow me in the Lord. And I started attending church with him. And God grew me up and taught me how to walk with him and how to do it. And let me tell you something else about the goodness of our God. I was raised Mormon. Mormon women have babies. That's what we're made to do. And that, you know, that mentality was still in me. That, you know, that's kind of your worth. You have babies. Well, Mike and I were married. We couldn't seem to have a baby. I finally got pregnant, and I miscarried really early. And it was devastating. And I have two older sisters, and they were just popping out babies one after the other, no problem. And here I am, and, you know, I'm a Christian. Why can't I have a baby? And then I finally got pregnant again, took forever, and then I lost that one. I thought, what are you doing, God? You know, what's going on here? This isn't fair. And, you know, God so clearly said to me, it's not fair, but I'm good. And, you know, I held on to that, and that was so true. And it was about this time Mike and I were leading worship at our church, and we were leading the youth group, and every time we'd come into worship, I thought I was handling everything really well with the miscarriages. I was doing okay. I was serving the Lord. But I would come to the Lord in worship, and I would just start bawling, just these soul-wracking sobs. And I didn't even know what they were about. I was like, what? What is this, God? And about the fifth or sixth time it happened, I was like, God, you got to tell me what this is. I don't like it. And he said, I am mourning with you. And we mourned together, and it was amazing. And he walked me through that pain in the right way and in a God way. And at that point, I got pregnant again. And I was like, this is it. Yay. And then we lost that baby. I was like, oh, Lord. And one night at about that time, I had a dream. And in this dream, God showed me why he was allowing me to walk through this dark place. And he laid it all out before me. And I woke up in the morning, and I didn't remember what he said. But I knew he had said it. And what I remembered specifically was my response to what he said. My response had been, oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to walk through this and walking through it with me. And I think that's what heaven's going to be like. When we can see fully, we're going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the trouble you let me walk through. Thank you for the hard times. And, you know, and that made all the difference for me because I knew God was in it with me and he was using it for a purpose. And that's just incredible. At that point, our lives down there kind of fell apart. Mike's dad had a heart attack. My mom had passed away from cancer. Our church closed under scandal, not to do with us, but so we had no place to go. Mike's job was gone. God called us here. Amazing. As soon as we came into California, found out I was pregnant again, which I'm terrified, and now I have no insurance and no money. I can't even get to a doctor. You know, what do you do at that point? And God just says, trust me, trust me. And in his amazing mercy, he brought us Micah safely and wonderfully. So what an incredible blessing. And then we thought, well, we would like more children, but we were scared because, you know, having the miscarriages was such a hard, painful thing. And we said, Lord, we'd like more, but, you know, please don't let me get pregnant and miscarry again. I'd rather not even get pregnant if we're going to have to go through that again. And he was so good. For 3 years, we just didn't get pregnant. He said, okay, we're content. We're blessed. Thank you, Lord. And then God gave us Naomi, such an incredible blessing. We said, thank you, Lord. And not only did he give us my kids, but he gave us my kids when we were here at the salt mine with all of you, because you guys have raised the kids with us. And that's such an incredible blessing that I didn't understand before. And I'm so thankful for that. And since it's Mother's Day, share one more thing about my mom. You know, my mom was a devout Mormon, and she got breast cancer when I was 12, and she fought it for 10 years, kept reoccurring. When I left the Mormon church, it hurt her deeply. She never really understood because it was so dear to her, you know, and I prayed for her. And when she found out she was terminal, they had told her she had 3 months to live, and we were able to have a lot of long talks. She never really got it. But it was good. But my sisters and I would take turns caring for her. She wanted to die at home. And near the end, she got to where she couldn't really respond to us. She was kind of juvenile. She was still talking, but she wasn't really there. And I just felt like I'd never had that closure with my mom. You know, I wanted to lead her to the Lord, but that didn't happen. But I felt like I never even got to really say goodbye. You know, she was just slipping away. And the last time I visited her, I had to leave. It was time for me to go home. And her brain had just been foggy for weeks now. And I grabbed her in my arms and I hugged her and I said, Mom, you've just been the best mom in the whole wide world. And God, like, cleared away the fog. And she saw me and she responded to me. And she said, do you really mean it? And I said, yeah, Mom, I really, really mean it. And she got it and we had our moment. And I went home and then she passed away the next week. And it was such a precious gift of our good God to give me that with my mom. You know, and when she died, you know, I didn't have assurance of her salvation. She died a Mormon, and I just pressed into the Lord. You know, God, what about my mom? Is she going to be in heaven? What happened there? And you know what God said to me? He said, rest in this. I did the right thing. And that is so good because he knew my mom better. He made her. He did the right thing with her, and that's what matters. So let me just tell you of the goodness of our God. He's amazing.
Thank you, Suzanne, so much for sharing that. Can't really add to that except just say, thank you, Jesus. God is good all the time. All the time. all the time. God is good. Amen. Let us pray together and let us worship. And again, I'd like to just encourage you.
Eric,
yes, brother.
Can you include Lily in the prayers? I'd like to present Lily to this body.
Amen.
Amen. Take back the joy of motherhood, you know, it's awesome. Going through some things with her stomach. And the devil's trying to rob that joy of motherhood from her. Place doubt and frustration in her. So.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother, for sharing that. And I know that she would be okay with you sharing that. So we do. We thank you, Jesus. First, we come to you, Father God, and we thank you, Jesus, that not only have you displayed and shown us what love looks like by giving your life so that we can have life, but we also thank you, Jesus, for showing us how to live in this life sacrificially. How to live in your love, receive your love, and turn and give your love. As Suzanne shared, just to that the goodness of our God displaying his love to her has freed her to love others so graciously and so wonderfully glorifying to you. We thank you, Jesus, for the opportunities that you've placed in our lives, that you are going to place in our lives to display your love. In Jesus' name. And right now we do lift up Lily to you. And in lifting up Lily to you, we also lift up other moms that are struggling right now. Just struggling. Feeling shame and condemnation. And we speak against that in the name of Jesus by the power of your Spirit. We speak against that shame and condemnation and guilt, frustration in the name of Jesus, discouragement. We speak against it in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you, by your Spirit, replace it with hope. Hope that can come from you. Hope. A hope that does not disappoint. Because it's all in you. And you do not. You do not let us down. And that we can be assured that your promises are true and they're everlasting. Your promises are not slow to you, even when we seem to think that they're slow. They are not slow to you. For in your time, your perfect time, you are always good. Because you are God. And we love you. We give you glory and praise. And we thank you for our moms. Bless them today. In Jesus' name.